Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I think it was Mark Twain who told the story about leaving home at around 17. His father, he said, was the biggest idiot around. He didn't know the first thing about life. So he went his own way for a while, and when he returned home at age 25, he was shocked to find out just how wise his father was. It was amazing, he said, how much his father had learned in those 8 years. Now, thinking back to my own father, I'm not sure that he learned a whole lot in the time that I went from being 17 to 25, but I think I learned to appreciate his wisdom in a way that I didn't before. Some of that is that I just didn't have a lot of wisdom when I was 17, and it wasn't until I had made some mistakes and lived with the consequences that I really appreciated what he was trying to teach me. Now, this morning is Reformation Day, and our text is the gospel reading, and it's short, so I'll just go ahead and repeat it now. While I do, I want you to listen and see if you can figure out the relationship between these verses and Reformation. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Now it turns out I heard it right in the first verse. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." Jesus is talking to Jews who had believed in him, that is, they had believed in him for a time and then stopped. Why did they stop? What did they believe instead? Probably they went back to trusting in their Jewishness, in their specialness, as sons of Abraham. They went back to thinking that as sons of Abraham, so long as they did all the right outward forms of worship, that they were good. What was the point of the Reformation? I'll try not to turn this into a history lecture, but the dominant church of Luther's day was the Church of Rome, and it had introduced a handful of innovations into their teachings. The central one was the idea that grace means that our good works actually help us, and that since money is the result of working, that money could be traded for salvation. They called this transaction an indulgence, and Luther's 95 Theses started the Reformation into motion by asking for a debate about these indulgences. Now, indulgences were a practice that the people liked, and they made a lot of money for the church. But by adding these innovations to Scripture, they ended up abiding not in Jesus' words, but in the words of men. Okay, so let's get back to our gospel reading. When Jesus was saying this, he was effectively talking to the church. The Jews were God's elect people. They were tasked with bringing his light into the world. They were known as Israel in the Old Testament. Here they're called Jews, which just means they're from the tribe of Judah, since all the other tribes had largely fallen away because of their infidelity. But when Jesus preaches to the Jews, how does it usually go? He's rough with them. Especially the scribes and the Pharisees, he's very rough with them. He condemns their interpretation of the scriptures, and he says that they're following the rules of men rather than the commandments of God. Jesus was preaching to reform the church of his day, and he was fighting against the same kinds of human tendencies that Luther was in his day. In every generation, it seems, most everyone eventually needs to leave his father's house and set out on their own, like Mark Twain did with my story from the beginning. They end up making the same kinds of mistakes that their fathers made, but they learn the same kinds of lessons. A fool will never learn these lessons, but a wise man will eventually come around. And a rare man will learn those lessons from his father rather than by making the mistakes himself. What we see in history, in the history of the Reformation, as well as the history of the Jews in the Bible, is that generations of the church need to learn the lessons of their fathers in just the same way. If we go back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we see a brief picture of how things are supposed to be between men and God. God created everything. He established a garden, a paradise, where he could be in the midst of his creation and he could abide with Adam and Eve. In the center of the garden were two trees, one which gave life, the other was forbidden, which gave the knowledge of good and evil. As we know, Adam and Eve chose the forbidden tree because they wanted to be like God, and now they have a problem. Maybe you remember the story. They were hiding, ashamed of being naked. God hadn't told them that they should be ashamed of being naked. They had added that for themselves. They tried to fix things themselves by making clothes out of fig leaves, but that didn't work. And that leads to the first recorded death in the Bible, where God makes clothes for them from animal skins. The sacrifice of an animal covers them up. It doesn't take away their sin, but it does allow them to stand before God and with each other with their shame covered up. Now, to repair the effects of sin, spoiler alert, Jesus will come and make himself the proper sacrifice. The fig leaves in Adam's time were insufficient. The sacrifices of bulls and goats in the Jews' time were insufficient. The buying and selling of indulgences in Luther's time were insufficient. The only thing that justified Adam was the same thing that justified the Jews, and it's the same thing that justifies us today. And it's Jesus' perfect offering up of himself as a perfect sacrifice. But the real point with Adam and Eve was this: we were created to abide with God, not for a short time, but for eternity. You've maybe heard the quote that there's a God-shaped hole in the heart of every man. That's a way to describe the natural emptiness that we feel when we're away from God's presence. We also feel grief from the death of a loved one as a very sharp pain. And that's because we were not made to live in the absence of each other either, just like we are not made to live apart from God. So what does Jesus give us as the solution to this? He says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The Jews pick up on this offer, but they find something to argue with instead of accepting it. "We are offsprings of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Now, never mind that their great prophet Moses was great because he led them out of slavery in Egypt. Never mind that Babylon had taken them captive and destroyed all of Jerusalem, including the temple. Never mind that Romans were currently occupying their country and forcing them to pay a tax to Caesar. In their minds, they're descendants of Abraham, and that's all that it took to be free. In the same way, Luther was facing challenges convincing the people of his day that they were enslaved to their church. He said that Scripture alone is the source of right teaching, not the traditions of the church. The reply that he got was that Scripture is unclear, and that to correctly understand it, you needed the history and teaching of the one true church to explain it, and that without the church, there is no salvation. Never mind that the teaching of this one true church had changed and been added to from one teacher to the next, and from one generation to the next. They thought that they were safe inside of their Catholic Church, and that is all that it took for them to be free. So what is Jesus describing here when it says, you will become free? He immediately explains it in his answer to them. Amen, amen. What does amen mean? Truly, truly. This is the truth, and he repeats it. Listen closely. I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, in our modern language, in our modern time, the idea of a slave has a lot of baggage to it. But ignoring kind of the cultural idea of slavery, the two essential attributes of a slave that have been true all through history is that first, a slave does not get to choose what he works on. A slave only does the work of his master, the work that his master gives him. Second, a slave does not get to profit from the work of his hands. Whatever fruit comes from his work belongs to the master. To these two, Jesus adds a third, that a slave does not remain in the house, but that a son does remain in the house. So with these three ideas in mind, what is Jesus saying about our relationship to sin? Let's start with Jesus' main point that the slave does not remain in the house. Well, what's the house in this metaphor? The house is life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. Also, we know that the wages of sin are death. So the slave gets to be in the house for a time, but in the end is going to be cast out, whereas the son remains forever. That's our first promise of being in the Son, life eternal. A slave does not get to choose his own work. Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And this means that he cannot, by his own will, choose a different way. This sounds like a wretched existence, not one that anyone would ever choose. So how did we get here? Well, by Adam, when he chose sin, and then we inherited that sin. We call this original sin. So we're born already enslaved to sin and never really got a choice in the matter. Finally, a slave does not profit from his own work. If someone in the state of original sin were to do some good work, who benefits? If he devotes himself to helping his family or his friends or being a good employee or serving his country, who benefits? Surely that must count for something, but sin is the only thing that gets the reward. He doesn't get it. Anything that he does as a slave to sin just counts as further sin, not righteousness. So how then do we ever escape from this life of slavery to sin? Well, it turns out that was the point of the Reformation. That was the point of Jesus' ministry, and that's the point of us being here today. And since we're celebrating Reformation Day today, and I haven't used enough Latin so far in this sermon, I'm going to look at this, I'm going to try to explain it through the five solas. First one, sola scriptura, means scripture alone. It reminds us that we are always to look to the word for truth, for direction, and for understanding. We are, as Jesus says, to abide in my word and be his disciples. Does this mean that we cannot or should not learn anything that is outside the Bible? No, of course not. But we should know the Bible well enough that whenever we come across a new idea, that we can test it against the scriptures to know if it is truth or if it is a lie. The second sola, sola Christus, Christ alone. This reminds us that the work of saving us, of taking us from being slaves in sin to sons in the house, was done by Jesus Christ and without any help from us. When we seek to be rescued from sin and death, there is only one man that we look to, and that is Christ. He lived a righteous life so that when he sacrificed himself on the cross, he bought us out of slavery and won our freedom for us. Sola gratia, grace alone. This reminds us of the price that we pay to receive that freedom. Grace means a gift freely given. In fact, there is no price that we pay in this exchange. And that's a good thing, because our old master, sin, has been keeping all of our wages. We have nothing to buy ourselves with. So it's a good thing that Christ did it for us. Sola fide, faith alone. This reminds us of how we receive the freedom. It's offered at no cost to everyone, but only those who have faith are able to receive it. To the rest, to those who don't believe that there is any salvation, or they don't believe that there's anything to be saved from, or they don't believe that Jesus gives that salvation, for them there is nothing to look forward to other than more slavery, more sin, and more death. All they can do at best is lie to themselves and say that sin does not exist, or that evil is good and good is evil. But lies do not set you free. We learned in our gospel reading that it's the truth that sets you free. Soli Deo Gloria, all glory to God. This reminds us to always be filled with prayers of thanksgiving that the same God who created and sustains us also, through his own death, ransomed us from sin and our own deaths. We engage, therefore, in acts of charity and service, not for our own glory, but that he might be known, and that his truth might be known among all people. So in conclusion, I'd like to quote Ronald Reagan, who once said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same." The freedom that Jesus gives us is like this, where each generation must be set free or lost to the slavery of sin. The Jews in Jesus' day thought that their position as descendants of Abraham made them safe from sin. The Roman Catholics in Luther's day thought that the same thing, their position in the one true church, made them safe from sin. This leads to the obvious question: are we today, in the Lutheran Church of the Missouri Synod, safe from sin? The answer is yes, so far as we teach Jesus' word and administer his sacraments. This is how we abide with him and in his word. They're called the marks of the church, and they're how we become his disciples. If we abide in these, then we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.